Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, y'all, guess what time it is? It's the Grolic Saves the World time.
All right, the Grolic saves the world.
That's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're getting fixed. Our world needs our mix. Let's have some kicks. Well, the Grolic saves the world. We're getting fixed. Our world needs our mix. Let's have some kicks. Well, the Grolic saves the world. We're getting fixed. Our world needs our mix. Let's have some kicks. Well, the Grolic saves the world.
Now is the winter of our digital discontent. Welcome to the Grolic Saves the World. My name's Adam Caton Holland.
My name is Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orvidal. Wow. Oh.
And this is the podcast where we better the world around us by bettering ourselves. But do we?
Adam, are you okay?
Adam, I'm sorry. This tone
is... We're getting into Charlie Brown Christmas season, and you know how Adam gets.
Sing your Charlie Brown song. It always makes me
Christmas
so...
Christmas time again.
Yeah, it's a mood, and this. Adam is it for November through December. This is what we get.
Yep. This is all I'm capable of mustering. It's sweater season.
Yeah.
I walk outside my front door. I get wistful, and I walk out every morning, and I go...
I saw Adam the other day crunching up dried leaves and then just inhaling them. Not like smelling them, but like inhaling them. It was fucked up.
He has a number of pillows on his couch that are just filled with dried leaves from his
lawn. He just likes the crunch. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And they say things like, don't forget to breathe and love with everything you got. Like they're just messages.
Those two pillows offer pretty drastically different advice, but I like that you're covering all
don't
the bases.
Forget to breathe, love with everything you got. I live my life according to two rules.
Well, I want to keep this going towards the holiday season as we're heading towards that. And
marching towards it.
Marching towards it. And this is kind of a challenge for Andrew and I, a chow chow for
us. Oh, cool. I'll take a knee. Fuck. Later, dudes. Ron, can you do a door slamming? And I'm out.
Adam, you should go see a movie. I mean, you've got all this new free
time. No.
Holy shit. Yeah. I'm going to go for a walk.
Adam, stay around to make sure we're still
right.
on time.
All right.
Andrew, I've noticed that you and I tend to talk about our pasts as if they are the most catastrophic pasts of all time. Whenever we talk about them, we literally share nothing good.
Yeah, and we're comedians. Do you know what we do? We're comedians.
I know. But I'm also, as you guys know, not mentally well at times lately.
Oh, here we go.
Do not give me, don't give me your cartoon bear voice. Do not.
Here we go. Gotta listen to Ben talk about his mental woes while I'm just trying to find a beehive to chew on.
I don't like depressed Dave the Bear. I don't like him. I find him to be.
Well, he's not depressed. He pulls you out of the depression.
Yeah,
I just wandered through the woods.
I find Ben crying in here all the time.
Hey, buddy, come over here.
I pick him up. I coddle him like a baby. I walk him out.
There's no time for this. You need to pack on cows for hibernation season. Follow me.
Do what I do, buddy. Jesus. Just sleep through winter.
Is that why bears? That is why bears hibernate. They get so depressed if they stay awake.
Yeah, they're next level. They know you're not missing shit. Just go to bed.
Yeah, dude.
Get fat. Go to bed.
Grizzly Gary, the good time bear, is trouncing through the woods. No, we do. All seriousness, Andrew, we tend to talk so much shit about our past. I've been going through therapy, and I realized I've started for years just telling this narrative about my past and everything that, you know, is largely based on some traumatic things. And Adam, I think you said it very succinctly and beautifully in your book.
Oh, you're talking about Tragedy Plus Time, available everywhere. You get it through Simon & Schuster?
Yeah, bud.
Yeah. Just Tragedy Plus Time by Adam Caton Holland, available everywhere.
You activated him.
But you said it beautifully that trauma has a way of shattering nostalgia.
No, yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I obviously went through some traumatic stuff as well, losing my sister. And for a while, and part of a lot of the therapy I did was getting back to realizing my childhood didn't have anything to do with it. Because when something terrible happens, like happened to you, Ben, you're like, you tend to blame everything. It's like, okay, everything's tainted. If the end result was this, then that entire landscape, that entire period was fucked up beyond repair.
Exactly.
And I did a lot of work being like, no, a terrible thing happened to your sister. It didn't have to do with like your house, your upbringing. It had to do with mental illness. And
right.
I think that's kind of the same for you, Ben. A terrible thing happened to you, but it wasn't necessarily a result.
And I tend to see every event leading up to that or afterwards as either being a part of the reason it happened or everything that happened after is a result of everything that happened to me, which is just not true. The event is isolated, and sure, some of it shaped where I went, but some of it was, you know, just because it was. That's just how.
Yeah, that's too black and white. It's like things are way more layered and nuanced than that.
Right.
Yeah, and I had the same thing. It's like, oh, it all led to this. It all resulted from that. Well, that's just too simple of an appraisal, you know?
And Andrew's upbringing, as we're learning, was horrifically traumatic. And
because of the Christ King.
Right.
As I was a seventh grade janitor, deal with it. I was cool.
I don't like when you say that.
Don't give away our script title. Yeah. I was a seventh grade janitor.
But what I've been talking in therapy about and reading about is that reframing your memories, focusing on good memories, singular good memories from your childhood, can help you see that there were positive moments and to try to focus on some of those as well. So what I suggest for this challenge is that we take a quick break. And when we come back, we try to bring a few memories from our childhood that were positive. Try to focus on the positive. Andrew, do you think that this is something you can do? Because I think that's the big thing here.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll bring a few good memories from my childhood if I have to.
How about that summer you ran away with that Dust Bowl circus?
Yes.
That was a good time. You had a good couple of months with them.
That would have ruled, actually. I would have done it. I would have done
And
that.
You were pretty excited when the Emancipation Proclamation
was signed.
All right,
fuck you. Why don't we listen to you? You were fired up.
No, that's what I'm going to say. A very easy chow. There may be, I think we're all going to have our hands firmly lodged on the earnestness horn button.
Yeah, ready to pull the e-brake earnestness horn.
Yeah, the e-brake earnestness horn on this one. I say, yes, let's take a quick break. Let's come
but
back.
But wait, Andrew has not said a word about how he feels about this challenge.
And, yeah.
And let's get to it, Andrew. What do you think?
I think this will be a good challenge. I do agree. I tend to tell the negative stories because A, they're funnier than the positive stories, and B, they're usually more interesting. Like, oh, check this terrible thing that happened out. I definitely, when I just scan my childhood memories, there are a lot of quote unquote bad or awkward or awful memories and way fewer bright memories that kind of pop out. So I think this will be a good challenge. And I definitely do what Ben is describing. I always attributed it to using humor as that decoding language. And also then just as I got into comedy and storytelling, just like, hey, this makes for a good story. I like sharing this, and in the act of like sharing it, it might be like this like awful story that happened to me, but if I could share it with people and we like laugh about it, it always felt kind of cathartic in that way of like unpacking it. But it's true, like in our line of work, telling positive, memorable stories is not what we do. So I think it will be a healthy challenge.
You don't read a memoir of just like, and then I scored the winning goal. Like, no, you don't want to hear you know.
Andrew.
That is the book that Adam's working on, though. I was a teenage.
And then I scored the winning goal.
I can't wait.
You can, too, with my program.
That's definitely what it feels like when you start talking positive about your past. It feels like you're trying to sell somebody something. And, you know, I'm trying to sell people on don't have a childhood. That's where.
Oh, no childhood.
You came out of an egg as an adult man.
Yeah,
it's a hard story to buy, but in today's day and age, more and more people are believing it. So
creation.
I believe Ben was an 18-year-old egg man, and I think if you don't believe it, I got some websites that are pretty convincing, as well as memes.
Prove
I can
me
say.
Wrong. I think this will be a good challenge for listeners, too, because we've got the holidays right around the corner, and I think when you spend time with loved ones, you often see those memories of your childhood. And we also hang specific memories from our childhood on our loved ones.
Oh, fuck.
And then we kind of define them that way. And so maybe digging around in the memory vault and reordering things and looking for positives could even change some of those dynamics.
Totally. Yeah. And when your family gets to harping on fucked up shit you did or whatever, you know, really focusing maybe on negative things as well, being able to, hey, remember when we actually had fun this time, you know, like,
yeah, but Papa, remember when I brought the goose? Papa, what about when I brought the goose?
Adam, you're not, see, this is where you go back to the comedy thing.
Papa, there was one year I brought the goose.
I mean, they say I'm old, but that's one of Adam's favorite childhood memories, and that's from the 1700s.
You did have a
goose.
You had a goose, though,
I had to go kill this goose. I had to go wring its neck. I had to kill it with my bare hands.
No, Adam, you had a goose.
Bring it back.
I remember
you. We had a goose named Penelope. She was really, really nice goose.
And Adam killed it for the Christmas feast. They made Adam do it because he was their least favorite child.
Yeah, ugly memory. Sorry. We'll keep it positive. Okay.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll share some positive childhood memories. And
can we make them up?
Adam.
Question for the child. Can we make them up?
Can we? Why don't we do this? Why don't we listen to some live stand-up comedy from our live show that happens live the last Saturday of every month at the world-famous Bug
Theater. Sorry, I asked questions. Sorry, I pushed the pod in new directions.
Live. We're going to listen to some Brandy Posey. And when we come back, all positive. Let's be sitting in the marigold field of our pasts. Come on, y'all.
Marigold stink, kind of.
I think there's leftover landmines in my marigold field.
Let's stay tuned. Andrew, try.
My brother's Christmas present to me was dinner for two at Applebee's on Christmas Eve. And like while we're there, he was like, hey, this might be weird, but could you take a look at my OkCupid profile? Nobody's writing back to me. I was like, okay, baby brother. That's weird. Like, my first memory of my brother is, like, me pushing his baby walker out the front door because I wanted to be an only child for a little bit longer. Like, then he learned what stoning was in Sunday school, and I just, like, tried to do it to me for 5 years of our childhood. But it's like, yeah, sure, I'll help make you more fuckable to strange women on the Lord's birthday. That feels like the way to spend Christmas. Let's take a look. So I looked through his profile, and I was like, well, maybe we don't mention alcohol 5 times in 3 paragraphs. While also making our screen name Crunked on a Mountain. That, like, do you want a girlfriend or a bro? What are you doing right now? That's not how you're going to get a good lady. What are you doing? He started getting really mad at me, and I was like, calm down. Maybe I'm not the one that should be giving you that advice. Think about it. And he was like, ugh, you're right. Like, I'd ever think about dating somebody like you. Which shouldn't have bothered me because he is my brother. But it still kind of did because fuck you, dude. Even with incest, you can do worse than this. Got all of my teeth, my car's paid for, and I hold down 2 jobs. And then I realized I was making that argument over an Applebee's 2 for $20. And it's like an awkward moment in your life when you realize that one of the main reasons that you and your sibling never hooked up is because you're just not each other's types.
Hey. Do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/Grolic Saves.
I do want to sign up.
Okay. I rarely, Adam, you know I rarely start the second half. Here we go.
Don't forget to breathe. Love with everything you got.
Okay.
You got this.
Memories like the corner of my mind. Sweet pearly memories. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Grolic Saves the World.
Eerie.
God,
Eerie rendition.
That was great, dude.
Thanks,
that was great.
Bud. And thanks for the support.
Yeah, buddy,
we have shaken the memory litter box and taken out some choice golden nuggets. You thought they'd be cat poops? They're not. They're golden nuggets that we put into this cat box.
And
to
Andrew,
find later.
We've been saying for a while, you got to stop keeping the trace amounts of gold.
I can hide my valuables wherever I want, Ben. It's the last place people will look, the cat box. They just see a lump. They don't know it's a fucking stack of bills. They have no fucking idea. You know how much valuables I have in this cat box? I don't even have a cat.
Yeah, are you bringing in other people's cat shit?
You can do whatever you want.
It's his house. It's his house, Ben. He can do whatever he wants in there.
You think somebody's going to pick up cat poop to get a gold watch under it? No. I'll tell you right now, they won't.
All right. Nope. For you second halfers, those folks who skip the first half of the show and only go straight.
Skip the first only half. Go, it's all bullshit.
It goes straight to the second half. We set about in the first half to try to reframe our pasts by finding some positive memories from our childhood.
Yes.
Yes. Adam, obviously, we know his life up until this point. Swish.
Stop.
We get it.
Stop it.
Very, very few bad things have ever happened to Adam.
Yeah, no, sure.
But we really want to try with this, guys, to find some happy memories and to focus on that. And this was largely aimed at Andrew and I, who seem to only talk negative about our childhoods, when it is just not the case. There were some bright moments. We hope that over the break, you thought of some yourself, maybe, you listeners out there. Maybe you found some. If your childhood had some traumatic stuff, maybe you found some bright spots. Think on that. But were you both able during the break to think of some?
Yes.
Yes.
I was. Andrew, were you?
Found a few.
All right.
I don't think we need to sound an earnestness horn by any means. I do think producer Ron should hang around it. He should vape around the horn. Just vape, have a vape break around the horn. And be ready to sound it.
Producer Ron's got one of those big vapes, the kind you can't even put in your pocket. It's like a two-hander.
It looks like the Ricola horn.
It looks like a muffler on a car, but then it's got that little sipper for him. It's huge.
Yeah, it's a catalytic converter that he's
if you're missing one out of your Toyota Prius. Yeah. Toyota Prius. kind of like what I'm driving for this B-grade bit we're riffing on. Let's do it.
Andrew's Toyota cruising Prius. Around Rift City in his Toyota Prius.
That Ron is vaping.
It is the go-to car of improvers. Yeah. You fit about 11 people in there.
The Toyota Prius.
So efficient to roll around the narrow streets of Rift City in a Toyota Prius. So fuel efficient.
Amazing.
All right. Well, who wants to go first? Do you want me to start it since it was my challenge? Should I?
Yeah, I think that's the rule, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hit us with a marigold.
I got to be honest with you both. This, as a comedian, feels as embarrassing as talking positive about my body.
Right. It's not where we go normally. This is not the place we mine for interesting stories.
Yeah. All right. I'll start. One of my favorite memories growing up in early grade school, or maybe even around kindergarten, and maybe even before, it's as early as I can can remember when I lived in Nashua, New Hampshire, which is where I first grew up. My dad used to, every Saturday morning, we would get up and just he and I would drive over to Mr. Donut and pick up a dozen donuts for the family for the morning. And it was like a thing that my dad and I did, you know, it was like, come on, kiddo. My brother wasn't allowed to go, fuck you, Bob. You know, you weren't allowed to be there. And it was just me and my dad, and he'd let me sit in the front seat, which I'm sure was probably illegal at the time. And we would drive to Mr. Donut, and it always smelled so, you know, like the smell of a donut shop.
You're asking if Andrew Overdahl knows the smell of a donut shop. I think Andrew knows his way around those smells.
I don't know if you're talking about my work history or my eating habits, but either way, thank you.
He wears crawler cologne.
Crawler cologne. That is my favorite donut. I'd probably wear it if they had it.
Is it really? Is that your favorite donut?
Oh, French crawler any day. Any day. So good.
Mine's just a plain old chocolate glazed donut. I like the
nothing wrong with that.
Like
nothing wrong.
Adam, what's your go-to donut?
Yeah, I'm kind of a basic bitch too, but I'll alternate between the cake, chocolate, and like the raised.
All right,
like a glazed donut. I don't like a cakey chocolate donut. I like a plain honey glazed or a chocolate glazed. Or if I'm feeling real squirrely, when I was a kid, the Boston cream was my favorite, or an eclair. I liked a nice eclair.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you like those fillings.
I love the simplicity of that. And as someone with young boys, like, whenever we go to the mountains, we stop at Lamar's Donuts, and Malcolm's like excited. He's like, if we're going to the mountains, we're going to get a donut. I'm like, absolutely, bud. And I just get him one. I get one, but he's already got that.
He's
going to
remember that.
That's a thing
for sure. And that smell of Lamar's will stick with him. I remember, I still remember where Mr. Donut was. I went to Nashua recently and I was able to find it, and I haven't lived there in, you know, like 3.5 decades.
Is it still a donut place?
No. It's gone now. I mean, it would be a
donut. Then broke in and...
Yeah, I broke into the old apartment. Remember that song, Adam?
I have no idea what you're singing.
Buddy, we've talked about it on the
pod.
What
a beautiful song.
Ben, I'm just picturing Ben sucking his thumb through a donut that he brought in the floor of an abandoned building.
That's...
Happily. In his hat.
Sounds like an advertisement for Maine.
But anyway, thanks, Pops, for that memory. That's one, and for making
it's
that a routine,
memory.
Because that stuck with me. I loved that, Dad. All right, Andrew, what was yours?
Andrew,
you said it
segued
nicely.
This is one I actually wasn't going to share because it's very short, so I'll share it, and then I'll share the memory that I actually wanted to share. In second grade, we had a student teacher. His name was Mr. Maxwell. Young guy, great push broom mustache, very friendly. One day, out of the blue, with no warning, he brought in a deep fryer and made homemade little donuts for everybody in the class. I've never
like a beignet
forgotten it. No, just little round donuts. Apropos of nothing for a bunch of second graders, I still remember it to this day. I've never had like a freshly made donut. So Mr. Maxwell, if you're out there, A, you're probably super old now, and B,
sorry about your body.
Thanks for those donuts. I never forgot that. What a surprise. But the better memory that I wanted to share, when I was around this time, probably in first grade, we would carpool with this kid named Peter, who was one of my best friends. And one morning, for some reason, my mom had never done this, and she never did anything like this afterward. She got me up extra early. We went and got Peter, and then we went and got like some kind of breakfast. It was either donuts from a donut shop, McDonald's. I don't remember that particular, but we went to Wash Park. And when the water is low in Wash Park around autumn and winter, you can walk out to this little island at the south end of the park. We called it Monkey Island. I don't know if that was actually the name of it, but you could walk out to that island. And my mom walked us out to that island on this like little pathway between the water, and we had breakfast on that island in the dark before school.
Whoa.
And I can still remember like how like unusual and weird and exciting it was. And I've like asked my mom about it, and she doesn't seem to even like really like recollect it.
That's the craziest thing about memories like that, is they're so profound and impactful for you. They'll stick out just like this spike in your memory. And then you'll ask your parents and you'd be like, hey, remember that? That was so important to me. And they'll be like, I don't remember that.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess you did that. But that was like not our style growing up. We would have breakfast at home, go to school. It wasn't like, hey, let's wake up extra early and have a pre-dawn picnic on an island in the park. That was like not the day-to-day vibe in our house. So it definitely, it stuck out, and the memory will come back every now and then. I'm like, wow, that was like so cool.
Were you stoked on it when it was happening too? Were you like,
yeah, because it was such a weird, like, mysterious thing we were doing. Even going out to that island, I'd never been out to that little island in the lake. And then
I have such a problem in my head. I'm like, did you see an owl? Adam.
I don't remember seeing any owls. I just remember thinking, like, this is unusual. This is wild. Everything about it was going on.
You know, it's like kind of crazy to think that maybe something was going on with your mom or in your household.
I think
whatever.
It actually might have been with my buddy Peter. I think it might have been some kind of issue with his mom, like some kind of emergency popped up to where we had to go pick him up super early. And so my mom was just like freestyling. No, we don't keep in touch. He'll come into play in my next memory.
Peter, you're on the line. Peter, thanks for joining us.
How's your mom? What's going on? What happened that morning? Are you okay?
If we want to do a bad memory recall, I can tell you more about Peter. But
turns out Peter's dad threw Peter's mom down the stairs that morning, and Andrew
like that,
had to
yeah.
Come.
No, yeah. Peter's dad was our scoutmaster, though, and it turned out he molested a bunch of the cubs, so kind of a downer. Adam, what's your memory?
And Monkey Island just sank below sea level due to Earth's warming.
I knew it was going to happen. You guys would keep pushing and prodding me, and a bad memory would come out.
God.
Shouldn't have opened the door to the Peter riffing. Got too real.
Wow. Adam, would you like to add something?
Sure. One time I was in a Hallmark store. No, I remember I drove an ambulance during World War I in Italy, and it hit a bomb. He said you can't make them up.
No. He's not.
I fell in love with my nerves.
This is Hemingway.
I fell in love with my nerves.
Yeah, you can't steal them from Hemingway.
Years past.
Adam, you're mistaking your past for Hemingway again.
Right. My bad. My B on that one. This is funny how all our memories are connected, because my memory, Andrew, takes place at Washington Park as well. It was probably like year three of playing soccer. I'm like 6, 7, 8. And I was starting to really like the sport and getting into it, but I was not scoring. I had never scored a goal. And I was just like really fucking frustrated about it. And I was in my head about scoring. I wanted to score. And I remember it was an early, early game in Washington Park, probably like 7 a.m. on a Saturday. So it was just my dad driving me. And we like were talking about it. And he was very like, it doesn't matter if you score, just try to play good and blah, blah, blah. Like the opportunities will come. And then we get there and there's like, you know, other kids and parents. And for some reason, I just remember my dad like goofing around with me in a way I would goof around with Malcolm, which is like he was like picking me up and like pretending to put me into a big dumpster right there. And all the kids were like, oh, Adam's dad's a goof. Like, and then he'd hold me over it and pull me out or whatever. And that was that. And then I just remember like my dad and me being the center of attention for him being goofy. And then that day I scored a goal, and then it was just like, fuck, I love this. And I scored two more goals. So the first time I ever scored a goal, I had a hat trick. And I just always remember the morning with my father talking about goals being unimportant, goofing around, and then scoring a hat trick. Wow. And I just like love that memory. And ever since then,
you had that kind of disturbing tradition of your dad holding you over the dumpster before games. That even as a young adult,
and I would always score.
Even now in your indoor soccer league.
It was very hard. Very hard, yeah, now, when my dad has to come out to the Palladium in Central Park.
It hurts his back, and you need to stop. You need to stop having him hold you over.
Yeah, my 76-year-old daddy comes out, and all the guys
Johnny
laugh.
Is
Look
hobbled.
At Johnny Holland.
I love the visual of your tiny gray haired dad trying to hoist you over a dumpster before you're adult.
Adam's crushing it. It's worth it.
I'm delighted. No, Dad, don't. Dad, don't throw me away.
That's a great memory.
Fucked up.
My dad's back is fucked. Anyway, it was a really nice.
I can imagine.
I can remember the frost on the grass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was one of those types of mornings.
And your dad, we've joked about it on this podcast about how incredibly positive and supportive your dad can be. So I imagine when you got a hat trick, you were the greatest soccer player to have ever played the game of fucking soccer. You're going to get drafted. You're going to play in the English Premier League.
Right, exactly. You know, it's another real quick, like, because my dad oft gets painted as a positive trope, but he once fucked with me. When I played baseball, I was obsessed with batting average because I'm just like, I read somewhere that Ken Griffey Jr. hit 1,000 one little league season. And I was like, I really want to like be in the majors. And so I was just obsessed with batting average. And my dad, who's a big baseball player, was like, that's gross. And so he just lied to me and told me every time I didn't get a hit, my average cut in half. So I was like, what? And so like I thought I was down to like hitting 080 or something. But he was just like, fucker, stop worrying about batting average. It was another good lesson. It was the other
Ichiro Suzuki's dad type mental game shit.
I love it.
Yeah. But he was right, though. Stop worrying about your fucking stats and play
exactly.
the game.
Right. You've got and we that still have to tell you that, Adam.
On your couch.
Yeah, I think that's on one of your drives.
Stop worrying about your stats.
That's in his bedroom because Adam needs that in the bedroom.
In the boudoir.
Yeah, when he's on his hands and knees, ass up, he needs to see that pillow. All right, Ben, you got another one?
Katie, I'm just worried about my stats. Honey, will you stop
putting your ass in the air?
Yeah, I like Andrew's assumption of my approach.
Oh, you're getting pegged in this scenario 100%.
Okay.
You're getting a good humbling pegging.
But I'm still worried about my stats. Still worried about my stats.
God.
This is great. Do we have time for another round? Now I'm feeling it.
I think Ben and I should share one more, but definitely not you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That tracks.
I have another one. And this is very simple. Every Tuesday night, and these always involve when I feel like at least I came with three, but the first two I feel like involve me getting to spend one-on-one time with a parent. And I remember every Tuesday night for an hour, my mom and I, just us, would sit down and watch MacGyver.
Amazing.
And it was while I was in grade school, before I really like started to notice my anger and this kind of side of me where I started kind of pushing myself away from my family. These were like moments where like my mom and I would just, my mom may be doing laundry and like folding clothes and it was during the evening, you know, and we would just, sit and watch MacGyver. And it was so strange to me that my mother loved MacGyver as much as I did.
Are you kidding? That mullet, those stonewashed jeans.
Think my mom wanted to have sex with MacGyver?
Ben, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but absolutely.
No.
Are you kidding me?
We are alike. God, that's hard. She and I are so much alike. You know, people have been saying it, and that's why we butted heads when I was a teenager, but now I see it. We both wanted to have sex with MacGyver.
That's why you butted heads. There can only be one lover.
I loved that show, MacGyver. I loved.
Oh, who didn't?
It's funny,
it was great.
That show was so good, and I was thinking back, and the memories of watching a TV show that I loved when I was a kid, like appointment TV, like TGIF and shit like that when I was 6 years old, like, I loved Perfect Strangers, and my mom loved that as well. And we used to watch that show all the time, and it would make me so fucking happy. It's like a fond memory, and it feels
What's
stupid.
What's the theme song? Start me on the theme song to Perfect Strangers.
Standing tall,
yes,
on the wings of my dreams,
or something like yeah,
rising.
Yep, okay, I'm there.
Fall.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Rain and thunder, wind and hail, I'm bound
for better days.
Yeah, it's my life. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Sounds like a Bon Jovi song.
Yep.
But what was MacGyver? MacGyver was like a techno-y theme.
Like 80s.
I didn't watch MacGyver as much, but I'm wondering how Perfect Strangers stands up. Is it just immigrant bashing?
Is it just like,
fucking 100% set up this dumb immigrant and punch him in the face for 10 seasons.
Probably.
Like, I feel like that's all it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was Elf, but with a human.
Yeah.
And
it's fucked up like, the way he would eat those cats.
Yeah, I do remember yeah. Balky yeah. would eat cats. Balky ate cats.
But yeah, I remember that. That's always been a fond memory and just something that I enjoyed, and I tried to do that with Milo when he was growing up. We watched Ghost Hunters together. That was on Sci-Fi Channel. We would always once a week watch an episode of Ghost Hunters, and it would scare him, and we'd curl up on the couch and he would sit beside me and he would be like, "Is that real?" And I'd be like, "I think so, dude." And we'd both get scared, and it was, and I hope it's something that he remembers in the future.
He's probably talking to his therapist at school about it right
that.
Now.
Love that memory.
Andrew, you Dose, what do you got?
Oh, a new memory. This one, I think about pretty often. This is probably one of the better memories from my childhood. When I was in Cub Scouts, the aforementioned Cub Scouts, there was an annual event, Pinewood Derby race. If you all spend any time in Scouts, you'd know this.
Yes.
You build a little race car out of wood and you race it down a very simple track, and it's competitive. There are little medals given out for the winners.
And there's a lot of very specific things. The specs
it has to
how
be a
the
certain
cars
weight. Yeah, yeah. You can't just make any car. You get the little block of wood and the wheels and everything. And there's certain specs your car has to meet. And you work on it with your parents. Luckily for me, my dad was an aeronautical engineer. So I had an edge that no other child had. And my dad made this Pinewood Derby car with me that destroyed the field. It absolutely. And I can remember this car so vividly. I don't really remember what I contributed to it other than maybe the paint color. I can definitely remember like standing there like, "What's that? Why are we doing that? This and that." But my dad was the absolute brains of that car. He used fishing weights to get to dial in the weight just right. I remember he cut out the section for the weights in the bottom, so the center of
so they were closer
gravity.
to the track.
And he'd use these fishing weights, and it was painted this like beautiful blue. It had a very classy yellow racing stripe down the middle of it. It was just like simple, perfect little Pinewood Derby race car. And we won handily.
What he didn't tell you, Andrew, is he also boosted the car with a couple Pratt and Whitney Wasp Series airplane engines. And that car was doing 684 miles an hour.
That car went through the wall of that basement and through a water main. It was fucked up.
Was your dad super proud? Like, was he like?
My dad is like super low emotions, if you can believe that. And so it's hard to say.
Andrew,
his reaction was,
except when he's retrieving treasure out of the litter box, where he's frantic and it's like a lot of emotion.
Andrew,
like,
why?
Gotta go get it out.
Why would you put my bonds in this goddamn cat box? He didn't see it. He didn't see the genius. But I won the little gold medal. I might still have it somewhere in my house. It was very frayed. I kept it because it was a great, great memory of just like collaborating with my dad on that. We hadn't really like worked on something before then. And I remember next year, still heady off my victory, off destroying everyone, I decided I should be more involved in the design process. So I insisted that our Pinewood Derby look like the DeLorean from Back to the Future. despite my dad's objections from a
design
standpoint.
Right, because that in the movie went nearly 88 miles an hour.
It really did. We lost. We never were able to pull off the victory again due to my involvement. But I can still remember working with my dad on that first little car and just that feeling of like winning something in a competition. That was my first like win.
Was it like a bonding moment for you two when you were making it?
It was for sure. My dad loved to build models. He would kind of spend most evenings down in the basement in his like hobby room, building models, planes, all that kind of stuff. And I would sometimes model with him, but the vibe was always like,
this is my time kind of
thing. Yeah. Or I was like in the way, or like the things that I wanted to build models of, he wasn't interested in. I wanted to build like a robot mech suit and he was doing like World War II fighter planes and stuff. So this was the first thing that I felt like we had like collaborated on that we were both interested in for sure.
I love that. That's great. Pinewood Derby. I remember my brother doing it and I wanted to do it so bad. But I was never allowed in the Boy Scouts. So, Adam.
Wow. Jeez. I have so many questions, but we don't have that much time.
Adam, would you like to share your memory number two?
Sure. Mine's similar to yours, Ben. I had a nice memory of my dad, and I figured I'd share one with my mom because I'm a guilty little guy, and you got to give love to both of the parents. You know what I mean? So the mother memory that I was thinking of was just, like, I don't know when my mom realized, but like I got really into movies and I was a film major and I just liked movies a lot. And so at some point she hit upon the fact that our hanging out time should be indie movies. So she would just make time and we would go to independent movies all the time, like Shea Artiste, Esquire, Mayan, matinees with my mom. She would just be like, let's go. And I can very much remember like seeing Blood Simple, Coen Brothers first.
Whoa,
one that
that's
re-released.
Cool.
Like she would pick really, like she was kind of educating me, like, hey, I read about this in the paper, it seems interesting. I remember going to see the movie Sling Blade with my mom, and it was always just like, and that was such Southern Gothic, and she kind of grew up in that world. It made her vaguely nostalgic. But yeah, I just remember my mom always being leading the charge, saying, hey, I want to go see this movie, come with me. And that was just our time.
This is an interesting one because we talk a lot about your dad because your dad is so gregarious and he's so outgoing and he's...
Well, and he comes around to the shows. My mom doesn't
come
around.
Yeah, and your mom, I know, and I've met, and she's lovely, but much more reserved, much quieter.
Yes.
So, like, knowing that she fostered and supported that love of film is interesting because she was a writer, right?
Yep, she was a journalist, and she's just a really smart woman. I mean, she reads 5 books a week. She just reads all the fucking time.
Yeah.
But I can just remember the smell of those theaters, and I love, they're little tiny, everyone in their town has that little indie theater, and there's 3 in my memory growing up, and we would just rotate between them depending on what film was there. I remember seeing Amelie with her in one of those theaters. Just, she always chose good shit.
That was a great flick.
Amelie's fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, so I just remember seeing independent films with my mom and loving it.
There's only 2 other people who intimidate me more than your mom does. And that was Lydia and Anne.
Yeah.
They're like very intellectual, very, very smart. And they scare the shit out of me, you know, like.
Yeah, the Kate and Holland women are like, oh, nice to meet you. You're so smart.
Yeah. When every time Adam's mom would come to our show and I would see after, she would give me this like a little smile of like, you think you're pretty funny? Okay. Definitely the counterbalance.
Imagine how it works for me, dudes. Imagine how it works for me.
It wasn't even like mean, but it was just this like little like, okay, all right.
No, I think they're shy and they're sort of like, it's the Orvidal. People think that they're standoffish because they're shy or not hearing you, everything you say.
Yep, true.
It's
true.
The same thing with my parents or with Lydia and my mom. They were just kind of shy and they'd sit and sort of look in what other people assume is judgment, but it's not necessarily judgment.
Well, I've loved this so far. This is great. This is nice, right, Adam? It's been nice.
It's nice to be nice. And that's another pillow.
It's another pillow, yeah.
It's nice to be nice.
It's not as abrupt as the stats pillow that your ass up for.
As you prepare to go outside and face another day, just remember, Look at that pillow, that, and it's nice to be nice.
Be nice to yourself. Think of some good memories.
I have maybe another memory or two. I don't know about you guys. Do you have any more?
I can keep going, but let's put them on Patreon. Let's put them on
we're
Patreon.
We're going to put a couple more.
I got some more memories.
We'll put a couple more on Patreon. So the question always comes up. It always comes up. Does this make the world a better place? And would you continue doing this, or will you do this again? I'll go first. Yes, 100%. I don't know that
we'll do it again on Patreon that you have to pay for. Yeah, baby.
I don't know that this makes the world a better place, only in that maybe it makes me feel more positive for the day, and that I go out and am in a better mood.
Makes the world a better place. The world loves the negative view. You know, you look at the news, it is the negative events that have happened, not the positive events that have happened. It is the stories we complain about. We complain to our coworkers. We don't share a great moment that happened. That's just the nature of how we often communicate. So does it make the world a better place to switch that lens over to positives? Absolutely. Definitely.
For sure. And I definitely am going for myself. I think I'm definitely going to try to keep doing this, changing the narrative that I've put in my head, because there are some other great memories, as you'll see if you head over to our Patreon. For those of you that don't, you fucking ass. Adam, would you do it again?
Yes, I would do it again. I like this. This is gives me a warm feeling, and I feel like I saw sides of both of you I haven't really seen before. And it's just nice to hear about your memories with your parents. I loved that. So, yeah, I think this is a really good thing. Like, we all have cynical, funny, fucked up stories for days. Pepper in a nice, a couple of good soft ones in there. And I did.
Also, we're all parents now. And I often think, like, what memories am I providing my kids that they will one day be on a podcast in 2042 talking about? What's going to stand out? but
it really shows you.
I do wonder what things that we do will be memories and what things.
But
won't.
It really does show you that we get caught up in perhaps thinking that with your kids and those memories, they have to be taking trips or doing wildly expensive things. It's really not. And I remember that it was those simplistic moments where a parent took time to focus
absolutely
on you.
Absolutely.
And what you enjoyed. And I don't remember the times where exorbitant amounts of money or anything were spent. We didn't really necessarily have that. But I do remember the times where it was simple.
Yeah, sure. I don't remember that trip we took to Indonesia at all.
All right.
Okay. Why don't, Adam, we're going to talk about this kind of behavior because it's coming up, you know, the angry gloating, and we don't know where it's coming from.
We do. It's coming from specifically all the time.
Yeah, no, Dad, let's watch MacGyver. That's the same as going to Bali.
That is. Tell me how more on brand it is that your mom used to sneak you out to matinees to see Amelie
Coen
Brothers film, that I'm seeing MacGyver while my mom's
I'm eating McDonald's on a park island.
Hey, we all landed at True TV. Okay, we all landed at True TV.
We all did the same cartwheel and stuck to the landing.
If you have memories like that, we challenge you to do this. Try it. Try to, maybe if you're going to be having a holiday meal, you're kind of dreading a little bit, maybe try to, you know, put a few happy memories in the chamber. If you do have any happy memories that you can write succinctly, share them. We'll retweet them. You know, and I think people sharing positive memories can often cause other people to go to that place. You know, I think it creates a positive space and a day around everybody. But great job, you two. I really love you.
Nice challenge. And, a pleasant challenge from Ben for once.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Next time,
I liked it too. Thanks,
we're going to be doing knife training.
Oh, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, we're bringing a chimpanzee that's trained for this. He's the instructor.
And, right? I mean, you're going to need that Don't Forget to Breathe pillow for this next challenge.
All right, well, why don't we do this? You know what I mean? That's that catchphrase. I want to put that on a shirt. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? You know what I mean? But anyway, let's listen to some live stand-up comedy. And who better to listen to? Because this is from our live show that happens the last Saturday of every month. And this next comic is going to be headlining the next Grawlix. And we are so excited about
the synergy of that, the synchronicity of that. I doubt you're going to find it on any other podcast.
You're not this kind of stuff.
He's a favorite. He is a Grawlix favorite. That is,
and I love this voice. Raspy. It connects with people. It's angry, but it's vulnerable. So everybody...
Wonder why you like that.
Everybody, please enjoy this clip from Dave Ross. And when we return, we've got more show. Of course, the best third act in the biz. And also, we're going to tease next episode's challenge. You don't want to miss this. Stay tuned.
It's been such a crazy, crazy holidays for me. It all happened this year. It all boiled over. And literally this happened to me this year. I told my dad my childhood was fucked up, and he said, sorry. What? What the fuck? That doesn't happen fucking ever. Ever. And it happened Christmas morning. I don't know what happened to me. I was just like, Dad! And he was like... We'll listen. What? He listened to me the whole time, received it. My mom tried to interject, and he was like, let him talk. My dad became a listener? What the fuck is going on? This only happens in Michael Bay movies. Right at the end, the world is going to blow up, and then the dad's like, actually, I'll blow up. And I'm doing it for my son. And then every grown man in the theater starts crying. Because all we want is for our dad to give us the football or whatever, you know? Yes, my dad apologized. What the fuck? That's insane. I'm not okay with it, quite frankly. That's not okay with me. I need this. My entire identity is you're fucked up. Now you're better? So what the fuck? So now every time I'm a dick, it's my fault? This is bullshit, man.
We are back. To all our thirders, welcome. Everybody that's just tuning in for the best third act in all of podcasting. It's nice to see you. And yes, there was a great episode before this, but as you guys know better than anybody, none of that fucking matters. We're
in the third act. Boom. A touchdown.
I just like to watch a race finish. I like to watch a race finish. Fuck all the 24 miles of that marathon. What are the last two about?
I fast forward movies to the credits. That's what I want to see.
Do you really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to see who they thank. I like to see the team behind it. Show me the sausage. And that's what this
Adam, you
got
to stop saying, show me the sausage to football players.
Show me the
not
sausage.
A saying.
It's
people
not
don't want to see it.
Show me that sausage. All right. That's not how you say
people
it.
People don't want to
it's
see
like,
it.
It's like, peel back the curtain. Show me that sausage.
Don't say peel back the curtain either. Hey,
who's behind that curtain with that sausage?
No.
Show it to me.
It's when you do it at the Ren Fair, it's problematic. Okay. So, do you both have any thanks? Anybody did thanks? I'll throw it out there. What about the rents? What about we thank the rents?
Okay.
I know Andrew doesn't want to, but I will.
Andrew, thank your parents right now.
Thank you, parents, for the happy memories there.
There you go.
And how hard was that?
Thanks, Mom and Dad, for the happy memories. We appreciate it. This episode would not be possible had you not given me some happy memories. And that's all that matters. So I got a podcast.
Thank you, John and Linda. I appreciate all the happy memories.
Andrew,
well. Thanks,
are you feeling confident that you can stick the landing on the song today? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, honestly, you need to build yourself up to deliver this.
Because I just...
Oh, all right. Piece of cake. I stretched out.
We've been getting complaints from some thirders.
What?
A lot of thirders
say
you're
phoning.
Playing
the remix version. I haven't even had to do it lately. I've just...
A lot of thirders say you're going ding-a-ling on the old phone. Is that the saying?
I don't like that either.
I am going ding-a-ling on the phone.
He's going ding-a-ling on the phone. He's phoning it off, going ding-a-ling.
Andrew, once, two,
people
three.
Come to the third act to hear Adam stroke is what... that's why they're
See,
coming.
Again, inappropriate, guys. A sausage. the curtain, the stroke. Let's
all
just
right. No, getting it on, phoning it on, ding-a-ling, ring-ring. Phoning it on. I'm saying try
here
it.
Here we go. Try let's hand. Do it. Plugs, 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 yes. Plugs, plugs, yes. Plugs, plugs.
Yeah. All right.
Felt good to be back.
I'm fired up. I'll go first. For everybody living in Northern Colorado, specifically Fort Collins, I'm at the Comedy Fort November 18th and 19th this weekend. So pack it out. I'll see you there. It's going to be a blast. It's a great, great club. I'll be there for four
definitely
shows
check weekend. That out. We love the Fort. Old D-Rod and the whole crew up there. I have a couple. This is I'm going to be doing a benefit at the O, which was formerly the Oriental Theater here in Denver. There's a great benefit for Johnny Crow, who played bass for the band Reno Divorce, passed away well before he should have. So there's Reno Divorce is playing the Dendrites, Record Thieves, Curious Things. I'll be doing stand up. Please, if you can support, that's Saturday, November 19th. Also, to the fine folks of Petaluma, California, wherever that is, just north of San Francisco.
It's not real. That isn't
it's a real place. November 20th, I'll be doing a show at the Roaring Donkey. You can come and check me out there.
Ben, you don't have to make up show promo to say
that. No, I'm going to be there.
You too.
You guys caught me. I'm just flying to random places and hiding out and making fake show posters. But I will be at the Roaring Donkey in Petaluma. Come on up November 20th. You're going to have a blast, I promise. Everybody, though, I think it's important. We plug our post-Thanksgiving small business Saturday show, our sad Saturday. So it goes Black Friday, sad Saturday. And that is November 26th. And what a lineup. Am I right?
No, I want to stop you right there because no hyperbole. Our home for the holidays Grolic shows are always the best
hype
fucking
shit.
Show. I don't know what it is, but I feel like people are ready to get away from their family. They need to come to the Grolics, and they're always fun shows. Guests drop in. It's just a really good environment, and the lineup is already fucking banging. Tell them who's on the lineup.
It's Dave Ross is going to be headlining it. And then, of course, local favorite, plus three stuffed turkeys.
Hey, I like what you did there. And after the Grolics, I'm headlining Comedy Work. So if you don't want to go to the Grolics, come to my Comedy Work show.
And again, our offer stands. If
I
you
will
come
drive
to
you.
The Grolics. And you want to go to Andrew's shows right after, and you're cool, and you're ready when Andrew's ready, he will drive you to
I'm renting a party bus so I can take everyone, okay?
Give him advance warning. Be fucking cool. Don't be creepy. You can ride with Andrew in style.
I'll put the seats down in my wagon. I could fit a lot of bodies back there. We're stacking up like cordwood.
Just bring weed.
I'll drive you down.
You better bring weed. Okay. As always, all of the links to those shows are down below in the show notes. Also, everybody, what the fuck are you doing? Review this podcast.
Assholes.
This podcast.
Review it.
Review this podcast.
Review this podcast. Guys, we are tuned up for this third act.
Review this podcast. Subscribe to this Crabcast. Follow on this Lodpost. Everybody.
We like to prep for the third act by having producer Ron hit us viciously with a tack hammer in the head. And then it's time to record.
Listen, folks, leave a review. We've been getting lots. Thanks for the ones we've been receiving. I want to say that right off the B. And that
should I read one?
Yes, I'd love for you to read one, Adam. Bail me out here.
It's a 5-star because honestly, that's the only level people leave. That's the review. Everyone gives us 5-star reviews because we're doing a 5-star job. It's by a guy named Tom After Dark. And it says, marry me?
Question mark. Yeah.
Right. And Tom says, if parentheses, when my wife leaves me, I want to marry this pod and have its babies. And we've done some of the science and it might be possible.
Yep.
I don't listen to podcasts, but this one quite literally has me wheezing and laughing so hard that I've had to pause several episodes just to catch my breath. And so is Andrew during the recording, but it's unrelated to the humor. He's just aging before our eyes. Seriously, my cheeks still hurt from laughing. It's hysterical, informative, wholesome, heartwarming, and precisely what our mildew-stained shower tile of a planet needs right now.
I like that.
This pod is a rock hard 11 out of 10. Chris,
okay,
five.
He does listen.
And I'll continue to listen and promote it. for as long as it's still around.
Wow.
P.S. Please don't tell my wife that I have a plan for when she leaves me.
That is a fucking review.
That is
fun, Tom. Thank you, Tom, for listening.
Hopefully your wife doesn't listen.
I want you to say,
I
want to say, I want you in me, and I want you to empty yourself into me, and I want to take and make your pod baby. I want to carry the baby for Mark, for the podcast. I want to put that out there right now, guys. I want his baby in me. And if you...
Full gestation guaranteed.
Yes, and if you don't already...
Legally,
you
it's
can,
mandatory. You have you to take your pod to term
us,
now.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, The Tickety Talks. It's always going to be at Grolix Comedy. Please share some of your childhood memories. Look for the positive if there are any. If there aren't, we apologize.
And contrary to the rest of the world, we're doubling down on Twitter. We're refocusing our efforts on Twitter. As
we're going blue.
Team. We think
we're,
it's got longevity.
We're paying whatever it takes. We're going Twitter blue. Yeah.
How much for 9 check marks? We'll pay.
Yes, I'm getting a golden check mark.
Hell yeah,
but
dude.
You know what? Supporting us on social media, leaving reviews isn't the only way you can support our podcast. You can also join our Patreon, and that's hugely helpful.
Stop procrastinating. Join our Patreon.
Wow!
Wow-wee. We have a Patreon. It's got three different levels you can support us at. It's got all kinds of bonus content. There's ad-free episodes. We always try to put anything interesting or fun. For example, in this episode, we have bonus great childhood memories on there.
Oh, yeah, we did do that.
We've got some we've got some fun extra memories on there. So anytime we get good bonus shit, it's going on that Patreon for you. So,
and can I tell you guys what I like to say about our Patreon? It's not just a house. It's a home.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yep. 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 And also remember to check out those bloopers from the previous episode, from the horror episode. We also, we're going to have a new boy crazy coming down the pipe, and probably inappropriate wording, but let me put a hard emphasis
probably
on
very
pipe
appropriate
on this
wording.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard emphasis on pipe. If you can't join Patreon right now, you can still support us by just telling your friends about this goddamn podcast. Just tell them.
Wait for the mailman. When he shows up, open the door, scream, "The Grolix saves the world!" in his face and watch as a new fan.
Yeah, I mean,
once again, thanks to all of you who support us. Get your own birthday shout out. Get access to all this exclusive content. Patreon.com/Grolix Saves. Down in the show notes. Click it.
Thanks, as always, to our producer, repressed childhood memory, Ron Doyle. We've pushed that down very, very deep, and I don't want to go to that place without a team of psychologists ready to help me.
Okay, great,
a team,
bud.
Yeah, professionally trained
Big
team.
Big thanks to Mike Henderson for your help recording the live show. And as always, our theme music is brought to you by the nostalgic Charlie Continental. All right. Well, we got it all out of the way, but what's the next episode's challenge, y'all?
Oh, I'll take this one. I'll take this one porque en el próximo episodio nosotros vamos a disfrutar en el juego bonito. Aha.
Okay. I think I'm going to go back to our Spanish episode and see if I can figure out what the fuck Adam just said. And that can't be a good sign.
Before you get out of here, I'm going to just say, because today is her birthday and she'll hear this a few days from now, happy birthday to my wife, Katie. I love you. And I know you won't get a birthday shout out because we don't support this podcast on Patreon. So I'm just giving you one for free. Love
well,
you, babe. Happy birthday.
Wow, the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, I got to say, quick, play us out, Charlie! Happy birthday, Katie.